I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. This weekend, the United States conducted two daring raids on African soil on the same day. Both targeted terrorism suspects wanted by the U.S. One in Libya ended with the suspect in American custody. The other raid in Somalia ended with a team of Navy SEALs withdrawing without capturing the wanted man. I spoke about the raids and their timing with Linda Robinson of the RAND Corporation. She's also the author of 100 Victories, Special Ops, and the Future of American Warfare. So, Linda, first of all, walk us through what happened over the weekend. There were two raids, one successful, one not. What happened?
Yes, well, the raid in Libya captured an individual named Abu Anas al-Libi, and he was indicted for an alleged role in the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. And there have been apparently a number of U.S. Forces, including law enforcement officials over in Libya, on the watch, trying to pick him up for some time. And as is the case with all of these raids, when the intelligence is there, they move. So I think it was quite serendipitous that that raid occurred at the same time as the raid reportedly in Somalia. And that second raid occurred going after, as far as we know, an individual named Ikrima, who is affiliated not only with Somalia's Al-Shabaab jihadist movement, but also has ties to other jihadist groups in East Africa affiliated to Al-Qaeda. But as I say, as far as I know, those two events were entirely unconnected. And frankly, it doesn't really surprise me, because the way these special operations raids go is they may track people for months and months on end. And as we know, the embassy bombings in Africa occurred 15 years ago. So they finally got a beat on this guy. He has apparently been indicted in the U.S., so this was a case where the raid was used to pursue what they like to call a judicial finish. It is also one reason why, for instance, a drone was not the weapon of choice, because if you want to bring someone to court, of course you need to have them alive.
The broad strokes seem to indicate that the attack on the shopping mall in Nairobi last month kind of triggered SEAL Team 6 into action. Does that narrative scan with the way the U.S. sends special forces into action? Does that seem right to you?
I can't confirm, but this raid was launched, according to some sources, not only because of the Kenya mall raid, but this is someone that was on their radar before that. So I would not want to give your listeners the impression that Somalia was just, as of this weekend, a target of a special ops raid. We've been involved there in a kind of a multifaceted way for many years.
We just spoke with Rana Jawad, BBC correspondent in Tripoli, who said, you know, when this happened on Saturday, a lot of Libyans didn't know who he was, and we had to go looking up, you know, who is al-Libi. So why was he so poorly known in his own country?
Well, I just have to share that amazement. I can't answer that for you, except to say, you know, obviously your and other reporters have now come up talking to family members, and they've given some accounts of the capture. But this fellow was obviously below the radar and not part of the indictments that have been made public. But the Secretary of Defense, Hagel, came out and said, yes, he was indicted for the bombings, and he was considered a high-value target. So he has been below the radar. That's really all I can tell you.
What's your take, Linda? Are raids like this worth it? What are the pros and cons?
Well, yes, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think it's important to look at the Special Operations Forces as using a range of methods in their toolkit. There, of course, are drones, armed drones that can take out targets, but then you lose any intelligence value. You don't have people on the ground to pick up the computers and the information. You don't have a live captive to interrogate, and you can't do what they like to call the judicial finish. You can't take them to prosecute them in a court of law. either there in the region or in the U.S. So then there's the raid, and that does put boots on the ground to pick up an individual, to pick up any hard forms of intelligence, and carry it out that way. And then the third way in which they operate, which is really the subject of my book and I think the wave of the future, is to increasingly use partner forces in those regions to develop their capacity so that they can go in and do the raid. And they may supply them with intelligence, they may support them with aerial reconnaissance. They may even go with them close to the target. They may help them get them there. It's intensive training and advising.
Linda, you've been following al-Qaeda and the Special Forces hunt for al-Qaeda for many years. What questions do you still want answered about what happened this weekend?
Well, you know, I guess I focus less on the individual manhunts than the patterns that emerge. And I do think, to me, having heard a number of people, officials and people involved tell me they thought they had Shabab largely on the run, both due to its own disintegration, but also against this combined sort of pressure against the Shabab force, you know, it seems clear that threat is far from over. And it's always, I think, risky to declare victory in these types of struggles because these groups morph and metastasize. And there is a pool of ready recruits in many countries. So Shabab may be dying or dead, but maybe there's a new version of it coming, and people need to understand where it's coming from and how it's operating.
Linda Robinson, and the author of 100 Victories, Special Ops and the Future of American Warfare. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Marco.
Linda Robinson is a senior international policy analyst at the RAND Corporation.